You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed here on a Monday. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're glad you're here, and we're also glad that Copper's running the board. Hey, Copper, how you doing today?
Hello, doing pretty well. How about you?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I just chilled out, went to Low Mill with some friends.
Just the kind of weekend that everybody needs once in a while is what it sounds like.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good deal. Well, hey, get that triple dipper sound effect there ready, my friend. So, yeah, we got a great show today. I'm excited about it. We got some breaking news that occurred over the weekend, some of which will in my monologue here in a minute, but also part of which is the fact that Alabama politics is getting a little crowded. So at 4:30 today, you're going to want to hang on because Tim James announced over the weekend that he is running for governor officially. You may recall he came on the show the other day and kind of scooped things with us on the air by saying, you'll be hearing something pretty official after the holidays, but he decided to go ahead and make it official. So at 4:30 today, Tim James himself is going to call in and talk about his campaign. Also at 3 o'clock, my friend Scott Buttram, who is the chief editor at the Trustful Tribune, has got a sharp eye for politics, and he's going to call in to talk about the state of Alabama politics with me and banter back and forth about that a bit. You're going to want to hear that. But in the meantime, Copper, hit that triple dipper.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so the triple dipper, three things we're going to run the show on for the most part, things you're going to want to hear about because I take the time to resource the show and pull these things together and create the themes. Number one is this. I got to tell you, I'm going to spend some time talking about Bob Dole. Bob Dole. I mean, the man died at 98 years old this weekend, but what a legacy he leaves behind. And not everybody enjoyed every minute of his career, but for the most part, though, he is one of those who kept his head above water and retired with his name intact, his reputation, and all things considered to be above reproach. Number two on the triple dipper, Alabama politics. Yes, it is getting a bit crowded. We're going to talk about that. We've got new entries in races. We've got new developments in races. And folks, I'm just telling you, some of those guys that are also running for office in the various state legislative positions are starting to draw primaries, I'm hearing. And then number three, there's some serious mixed messaging on COVID. I mean, it basically depends on where you live. You know, for a while there, they could get away with saying COVID, and everybody went, oh, wow, COVID. But now it's just basically depending upon who's in charge as to what you have to experience. So listen, we're going to do that too. But I gotta tell you, though, Copper, did you know much about Bob Dole? Did you hear much about him over time?
No, I haven't.
Well, I mean, so, all right, let me just do this for a while then. So here's the deal. By now, you've likely heard that Republican icon Senator Bob Dole passed away this past weekend at the amazing age of 98. And I couldn't help but reflect on a few personal touches in my life from Senator Dole. Not too personal, really. No way he knew who I was. But he was one of those few members of the political stratosphere that I somehow felt connected to from afar. And from his status as a wounded combat veteran, a small-town guy who served in his state legislature, from seeing him speak personally in Gadsden, Alabama, and his interaction with my own father, somehow it all weaved together a fabric of familiarity that made him more identifiable than many others who served in D.C. that I read about all the time. And at every turn, I admired what I saw and heard. Now, like I said a minute ago, I'm sure there were detractors. There always are. And I'm sure that there were policy points at some level that I may have disagreed with, but his honor and reputation remained intact throughout all of his years of service. I looked up his military record once. A Bronze Star for valor and two Purple Hearts for wounds that he sustained in Italy in World War II as he tried to rescue one of his men under fire. The wounds he sustained that day resulted in doctors telling him initially that he would be paralyzed for life, and initially he was paralyzed from the neck down. And he lay on the battlefield for nearly a full day waiting to be evacuated, and he spent several years and many surgeries regaining the use of most of his body. I say most because he never fully got his right arm back, and he was known for years in D.C. for his left-handed handshake. In the conference room at my law firm is a beautifully framed limited edition sketch of the White House. It was presented to my father after working on the National Republican Presidential Task Force when Senator Dole became the GOP candidate for president. He lost that year to Bill Clinton. But the grace and the poise and the sense of humor that he exhibited in the wake of the loss was evident in so many follow-up interviews, including the fact that he even went on Saturday Night Live a week after the election to poke fun at the late Norm MacDonald, the comedian who had been impersonating him throughout the campaign. The videos are still out there. You should check them out because they are epic. Bob Dole was a man who knew hardship, and he never let it keep him down. He fought for his country, and when he became so feeble that he could not stand, he had an assistant help him to his feet so that he could stand and salute the casket of his once rival but then best friend, George H.W. Bush. My father was speaking with Dole once after he lost the presidential election. My dad asked him what he was going to do next. "Phil," he said, "did you know that all the monuments in D.C., there's not a single one built to honor the veterans of World War II? I'm going to make sure that happens." And he did. And I read that even up to the latter years of his life, he could often be found in his wheelchair at the entrance to the National Monument to World War II veterans, greeting veterans as they arrived and thanking them for their service. So as I prepared for today, I thought about what it would mean if we had more like him, and I did some research, as I always do. In the course of resourcing the show, I came across an article printed this morning in the Kansas City Star that was so good. It was just so good that I thought, I'm going to have to devote part of my Right Side Way comments today to just reading what his hometown thought about him. So here it is. Quote, "Russell, Kansas, the hardscrabble, wind-strewn town on the railroad tracks out in the middle of the state where the Doles put down roots. Dole's hometown propelled him high and far to become the most significant politician in Kansas history except for Dwight Eisenhower. The town molded him and then stood by him through all those campaigns. They remember him today as the wisecracking politician who made more appearances on NBC's Meet the Press than anyone in that program's long history. He was dashing, handsome, articulate, certain of his views, but there was a time when Bob Dole was something else. A World War II veteran so shaky about his future that he doubted he even had one. Torn up by a barrage of bullets on an Italian hillside just days before a war's end, Dole had to relearn how to eat, how to dress, and how to write. And he did this not with his natural right hand, but awkwardly with his left. His right arm would be mostly useless the rest of his life, and Dole would come to appreciate people such as Bill Clinton, who would reach out with their left hands for a shake. There's a story from those days that involves a cigar box. Chet Dawson, from the old Main Street drugstore where Dole had worked as a soda jerk in high school, started a collection for Dole's hospital bills. He grabbed an empty cigar box, attached a sign that said Dole Fund, and placed it on the counter. The donations came in nickels and dimes and quarters. Banks pitched in. The total reached $1,800, which was a big sum at the time. The surgeries came in waves. A doctor transplanted tendons from Dole's leg to his right shoulder. A chunk of his scapula was removed, and muscles in Dole's neck were reconnected to his right arm. The doctors also helped him understand something that Dole was loath to accept, which was that he would be partially disabled the rest of his days. Dole had wanted to become a doctor, but that dream was gone now, replaced by a nightmare that he couldn't shake, and Dole worried that he'd wind up just an invalid selling pencils in the little downtown Russell, Kansas. That fear, it's been said, is what became the jet fuel that pushed him onward year after year and race after race. He said, "I don't remember when it started," once on 60 Minutes, "but one day you get up and say, all right, let's just start thinking about the future instead of the past, and maybe Bob Dole can do something else." He was raised by twin maxims, that money isn't everything, and if something is worth doing, it's worth doing right. And the Doles lived on the wrong side of the tracks, but Doran and Bina Dole, his parents, worked nonstop, endured the terrors of the Dust Bowl, and raised four good kids. And as a boy, Bob Dole delivered newspapers and mowed lawns, and at 13, he got a job there at Dawson's Drugstore, where he honed his trademark wit at the soda counter. He went on to become a state lawmaker, Russell County attorney, a congressman, a senator, and the chairman of the Republican National Committee. Hard work became his calling card. After 30 years removed from all those surgeries, President Gerald Ford shot Dole into national prominence by picking him as his 1976 running mate for vice president at the Kansas City GOP convention. In what would become a pattern, Dole kicked off his campaign in his old hometown of Russell, Kansas, in front of all of his old friends. More than 10,000 people were said to have been in the crowd that August day when the President of the United States and the Doles mounted the stage in front of the courthouse where Dole had toiled. And with the smell of hot dogs in the air, Dole told the crowd he never imagined that one day he'd be on a national ticket. He said, quote, "But it shows you can come from a small town in America and you don't need all the wealth and the material things in this world to succeed. And if I've succeeded, though some might quarrel with that," Dole said, "I want to reemphasize if I've done anything, it's because of the people that I've known up and down this main street." And he said, I can recall a time when I needed help and the people of Russell helped. And Dole halted right then in mid-sentence, and his hand went up to his face, and the crowd got real silent, and Bob Dole cried. It says he sobbed so hard, in fact, that his shoulders shook. And a few claps and cheers came from the crowd, and President Ford stood up and started to applaud, and the crowd joined in, and for a full half minute, they cheered and shouted and whistled. That was a long time ago, Dole said, but I want to thank you again. So 11 years later, when he was back running for president in what would be his best shot at the White House, this time on a frigid November 1987 day, Bub Dawson, Dole's old friend from the drugstore, presented Dole with that same cigar box that was once used to collect the $1,800 for his hospital bills. But this time, the box contained $100,000. So I'm telling you, folks, Bob Dole was the kind who never forgot where he came from, and the folks in his hometown have never forgotten him. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. You can't replace character. You can't replace character at all. You don't have to always agree with policy. I don't always agree with everybody's policy positions. But you can't argue with character. Bob Dole was a man who had seen it and done it and fought through it and overcame it and came back and did more. And I'm telling you, his wit, his ability to laugh at a bad situation, his ability to make friends across the aisle, his ability to get something done, we're missing that right now, and we need some more of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.